For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
Oh, kids are crazy, aren't they? They sometimes just say the craziest things, the darndest things even.
Yeah, I know what this is about.
We've
had a morning.
We have had a morning. You and I bumped into each other down on Moorabool Street and we decided to get a coffee.
Well, can I be honest? I staked you out. I saw you walking to work and I was with my wife and son. They were dropping me off at work. And I was like, pull over. Pull over. When you're a cafe, I want to doorstop Davo. My wife, you haven't seen my wife in a while, my son. My son's been asking about Davo. He's like, how's Davo? What's Davo up to? He's 2.5. So,
yeah.
And he's like, Davo at the radio? I'm like, yeah, I'm seeing Davo. So I was like, great opportunity. You've been saying you wanted to bump into Jack as well. So
of course. We're
getting it sorted.
It was lovely. And it was nice to see your whole family, of course. And so we all got our coffees and took a seat outside. And your gorgeous son, Jack, was sitting on your lap, sitting on Dad's lap. And he looked over to me and he thought, well, what are you doing? Where's your dad? Why are you not sitting on your dad's lap? Yeah. And he said to me, Davo, where's your dad? Now, that's a tough question. It's a tough question for us, Tim, because unfortunately my dad has passed.
Yeah. Okay. Kids
say the darndest thing.
Who is that? Dolly Parton.
I don't know.
Cousin.
So, obviously, that's a hard question from a kid in a situation like this. Yeah. I don't know what you've said to Jack in the past about these, you know.
What happens when someone dies.
Yeah, anything like that.
I was just, because you've told me that your dad passed a long time ago.
Yeah.
And when he was like, just unprompted, hey, where's your dad? I went, oh, because it's one of those things, you go, oh, mate. No.
No, it was fine. The way I handled that, though, with you and your wife's eyes staring at me, I'm thinking, all right, well, I'm about to teach this kid some lessons here. And I said, look, my daddy's in the sky. I said, Dad's in the sky.
Yeah. And fairly from his point of view, he asked you if he was on a plane.
I was like, kind of.
A permanent plane. He's up there for a while.
He's been flying for a while. Yeah.
I also haven't quite figured out. We're currently using our dying fish as the example. This morning he was like, where's... I was like, oh, look, let's go feed the fish. And he was like, oh, where's the little one? And I was like, oh, it swam away.
Yeah.
He was like, where? And I was like, just away, mate. Just, it's gone. It swam away. So we haven't had anyone he knows, like a human being, not a fish, pass away. So, yeah, we haven't quite ventured into the like what it looks like when someone passes away.
Yeah. So I think in the sky was like a...
No, that's a great... Yeah.
I felt like that was the appropriate answer to a very hard question from a 2.5-year-old.
Yeah, keeping you on your toes.
So I want to go to the phones and ask, what hard question did the kid ask?
Yeah, they'd be hitting you with it.
Mm.
Can I just say, I know you and we've already discussed it. I felt... It's one of those things, I am sorry.
Mm.
Because my son has never asked anybody else about their dad ever. And the first time he has, he's asked about yours, who's passed away about 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say, if you have a friend that maybe has lost a loved one or whatever, a really nice thing you can do for them is actually ask them about their loved one so they can talk about them.
You can think about him.
So it's literally fine. And I don't mind answering that question to 2.5-year-old Jack. I was more worried about, I'm about to tell this kid something really tough.
Yeah. You'd be like, well, he's reincarnated, actually. You see that street sign over there? I think that's what he's turned out to be.
Look, give us a call and tell us, what hard question did the kid ask?
Yeah, when they get to the question phase, it's fun. Sean in Clifton Springs, what have you got for us?
My daughter once asked me if I felt bad because I picked her up one day and then never picked her up again.
Kids say the darndest thing.
That's really sad.
Oh.
It was. It really upset me.
I decided this a couple of months ago. What I'm going to do on my son's birthday every year, Sean, is I'm going to pick him up. Now, obviously, for these next probably 10 years, that's going to be an easy feat. But when we're getting in the early teens and then we get into the 20s, like I want to be 50 picking up my, 22-year-old son. Like that's what I want, Sean.
Well, I would never hope in Hades
for
doing that.
what did you say to them?
I said, she would have been 14 at the time, 15 maybe. I'm like, you're horrible. She said, I know. Do you? Yeah, do you feel bad?
That's curlier than maybe what you got today, Davo. All right, Abby in Charlemont. Abby, what was the hard question in question?
Yeah, hi. My son asked me how babies are made.
Perfect.
Yeah, he's five, so he's a little bit young. Say the
darndest thing. Sorry, don't interrupt Dilly Parton. You know, that's not on. Yeah, where babies are made. That's the classic, right?
Yep.
And he was 5 years old. So how did you tackle that question?
Made it sound like it was something that the doctors helped with.
Sometimes they do.
That's the case. So it's kind of like, you know, when two people love each other and they, you know. I mean, it's
caught a bit off guard.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where you, and like how you answer it, I guess, is totally fun. Like, it's very unlikely you're going to scar your child answering that question. Oh, well.
You know, Abby, when I was a kid, I asked my mum what the word horny meant because that song by Moose T, Horny, was out.
I'm a horny. Yep. I'm horny.
I hope she was honest with you.
She was, in a very embarrassing way. She screamed it at me.
Yeah, well, pretty similar answer to what actually Abby gave her 5-year-old. So that's fair enough. I unfortunately, you know how you hear about something, you probably should ask a school friend more than your parents?
Yes.
When I and I hope that they've blocked this out of the memories. When I asked my dad what 69 meant,
because
everyone around school was saying, I think it was worse because he didn't know the answer either. So it was like, well, it's before 70, you know, what else can you say?
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
We were down in Lorne yesterday and you might have thought that the Surf Coast Shire Council was in charge of that place, but let me tell you, who is running that town? It is the Cockies.
Okay. Could have been like Cockatoo Love. Not enough time in the day.
I mean, we've all been down there. It's a brilliant part of the world. It's beautiful. We can encourage you to go down there and support the local businesses, of course, but those Cockies, they mean business. We were at the Lorne Hotel with six of them looking me dead in the eye, my friend. They were ready to pick me up by my shoulders and take me back to their nest.
Yep. So what? When you go so to lucky. Places that have... What I love about certain places when there's signage all across town and it's like, hey, just don't feed the bloody birds. Like, whatever it is, just don't do it. There were signs in Lorne and it's like, we're not giving refunds. If a cocky steals your pie, we're not doing a refund for that. Sorry.
Dear customers, we do not replace or refund any food due to cockatoo burglary.
Yeah, you thought that was like a ha-ha funny joke. And then you realise when we got to the pub and you watched a cocky steal an entire waffle fry from a man.
And not
they
to
meant
mention,
business.
And not to mention they had a little beanie and turtleneck on, the burglars.
Just slinking off to the side.
They are running that town with petty crime.
I didn't see this with my eyes, but someone came over and said that a cocky earlier in the day took a whole schnitzel. A whole schnitzel. Little did they know that that's part of their little schnitzel.
By the shoulders, back to their nest.
I feel for the cocky there because, like, do they know that, like, what they're taking, chicken, it's part of their family. Like, loosely related to a bit of cannibalism.
I did not
there.
Even think that. That it's is devastating because they were getting into the chickens.
I did see you a bit. I've seen a new version of you as of yesterday, mate.
Oh, yes.
Out on the balcony.
Yeah, birds to me, they're unpredictable and terrifying. So what happened? Go on. You want to say
no,
it?
No. I'm just, I've never.
You want to say I've I was
never,
vulnerable?
No, I've never seen you need somebody. And you clutched at my arm. And I think, I could be wrong. I don't want to misquote you. You went, Tim.
Oh, I did. I'm not even going to lie.
Like, what was I going to do? Like, they're just birds,
well, I
mate.
Just hope that I would be able to push you in front of the bird and they gouge your eyes out instead of mine. But, yeah, look, if you're going down to Lorne, obviously please do and support local businesses. Yep. But be aware of those bloody cockies.
If they win another election, I tell you what, you'll see people moving out of town.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
I don't know if we've actually had these conversations before, Davo, but this has been a big theme for years here on The Drive Show. Do you get into like a bit of space, like space chat, a bit of space gear?
I try not to because it does sort of have a very vastness to it that is overwhelming.
Mate, I don't want to talk about vastness, but it's like, you know, whether it's aliens or you know what Elon Musk is doing? He's like, yeah, we'll go to the bloody, yeah, we'll go to Mars, whatever. I don't know. We'll get people on Mars in 2030. He just keeps saying it like it's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Or Katy Perry singing in space. Yeah,
you know, whatever it may be. I'm a big fan of space. And sometimes you're right, the vastness does make it hard, and how small we all really are and how big the universe really is can be quite confronting.
Great leveler.
Have you heard of this theory that the Earth will lose its gravity for 7 seconds at a specific date this year?
No.
Okay.
What?
So I've only been learning about this over the last couple of days, and I wanted to read up on it before I brought it to the show.
Okay, but just first of all, everyone that's listening, Tim does have a tinfoil hat on.
Well, it makes it easier to get my point across. I think that, so this is wild. Like before even we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of this, when I heard, oh yeah, there's this theory online that someone's convinced that on August 12th this year, Earth is going to lose gravity for 7 seconds because of this particular solar eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
My brain goes, the hideous things that would happen to this planet if just even for a moment, a brief second or two, we would lose gravity, this would turn into a wasteland.
Yeah, I mean, for a second when you're saying it, when you think about, once again, the size of this situation, I was thinking like we'd be sitting here, things would start floating. But no.
Buildings would fall from the sky. If you have not seen where Australia is on the globe, we're going into the sky. We're falling down. Unless you're at the North Pole, Santa's right. Greenland's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some parts of Canada and Russia. The rest of us, we're going for a tumble. NASA has actually commented on this. Apparently, this theory is called Project Anchor. And people are saying, no, NASA's working on how to, like, you know, tie us all down. Because for 7 seconds in August, this solar eclipse, we're
going to
lose gravity. 12th of August this year.
Uh-huh.
And essentially, NASA has said that this is totally and truly not possible. The Earth will not lose gravity on August 12th, 2026. The only way for Earth to lose gravity would for the Earth system, the combined mass of its core, mantle, crust, ocean, terrestrial water, and atmosphere to lose mass. That is not possible.
Total
solar eclipse has no unusual impact on Earth's gravity. Essentially, they're going, this is one of the craziest things we have ever heard.
I mean, if it was real, if this is something that is going to happen on 12th of August, don't you think it would be on the front page of every paper? Like, strap things down.
Get your bungee cords, your ropes. Yeah. Like, don't be near a house. Like,
doomsday prepping.
Find a park, you know, get in the most clear landing you can.
But if it did, 7 seconds. I mean,
it's a long time for some.
2, 3. That's fast. 4, 5, 6, 7. We're back.
That was actually 4 seconds. Okay. It was a quick count.
Radio
quick
time. Count. I didn't want to waste everyone's time.
Do you reckon there's someone at NASA purely that's in a division that's just like space conspiracy theories and they just get sent this stuff? And someone that actually works at NASA has to come out now, a spokesperson, and say, this is just a conspiracy theory. There's no way Earth can lose gravity for 7 seconds.
Or is this a distraction from what's really going on and aliens are coming to the Earth? Do you know Bubba Vanga, the psychic?
Yeah.
She actually said that this is the year that we meet aliens face to face.
Bubba Vanga's predictions have...
It
will be a man. Prediction. The sun will rise.
Ooh,
prediction.
Careful. You're towing a line.
There was a Macedonian on this show once, so we're fine.
Oh, okay, sorry.
We're fine. And Loggy's still around, so we're fine. But we're not going to lose gravity. But, Davo, if on the 12th of August, if it makes you feel better, you know, we can go out to whatever your favourite dog park is in Geelong, and we can tie you to a tree, and we'll see how we go. How does that sound?
Oh, I still think it's a distraction. Right. Be careful.
Okay, get your bungee cords out and your tinfoil hat.
It's Tim and Davo.
I want to talk about the word communal,
mm-hmm.
especially in a workplace. What does communal mean to you, Davo?
Well, it means it's something that everyone can get involved in as a community.
Yes. Here at the radio station, if you want milk, oh boy, have you got a job in the right place. K-Rock is in surplus of milk. As someone who doesn't really drink it, I kind of feel left out. I go, oh man, I really wish I was into that to get into some of that milk.
Yeah, not part of the communal milk situation.
And then, like, you know, it's great for people in particular towards the end of the expiry dates. And it's like, hey, 6 jugs of milk, take it now. If you need milk, it's going to go bad over the weekend.
Brilliant. A communal situation.
Yep. I was, because of who I am as a person, for our work KK last year, I received a bottle of Pepsi Max.
Yep.
Because that's, someone knew that that would bring me joy.
With other things, by the way.
Yeah. It was a beautiful stubby cooler, some chocolates, but a Pepsi Max was a big feature of it.
Yeah.
And over the Christmas New Year period, we were working here, and so I put it in the fridge on the final Friday of the year, on like December 19th or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I was like, on the 24th, on Christmas Eve, here I'm going to, you know, there'll be a few of us, you know, Christmas Eve before we leave, we'll share a Pepsi Max, you know, blah, blah, blah. Someone who was filling in here, covering the reception desk, they sent an email out on the Tuesday going, hey, anything in the fridge before Christmas, like if it hasn't got your name on it, it's going to get turfed. And I was over there and I was like, oh, hey, obviously you'd be wild to throw out a full bottle of soft drink.
Of course, it's sealed. It's ready to go.
But I'm saving it for tomorrow. There's going to be three of us in the building. Mm-hmm. I would love to, like, I'm saving it for tomorrow. And I got a ghost face. And I thought he was joking that he'd thrown it out. And I went, no. And he went, oh, well, I didn't throw it out. I drank it yesterday. And then he said, I thought it was communal.
No.
And I was like, don't get me wrong. I know a radio station is a cool place to work and you would expect really cool things to be available to you.
You'd expect it.
But a Pepsi Max, a bottle of Pepsi Max, it's not a communal thing. And then my thing was, he drank the whole bottle.
Yeah, that's
a
crazy.
A liter of it.
Do you know what? This wouldn't have happened if it was a 600 mil because it felt too personal. Yeah. But the 1.25 does have the air of communal situation. Like you wouldn't expect one person, like this person, sucking down a 1.25 liter.
The whole thing. And he was a great sport about it. The next day on my desk were two bottles mm-hmm. of Pepsi Max because he did genuinely feel bad. But the idea that a workplace would have full liter bottles of soft drink as communal is crazy to me. 5223295 For all the different workplaces, what was the best communal thing that your workplace had? That's what I want to know. Because currently milk is leading the charge.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I consider a few things in that fridge communal personally.
Oh.
I'm using butters. I'm using someone's sauce.
Oh.
I'll use whatever I need to use in that fridge without making sure that it's enough that they can still get back in there and have it. Enjoy it.
I have been losing ham lately. Has that been you?
No, I wouldn't touch a ham. Absolutely no. We'll never touch your ham. Your nice butter, though.
It shouldn't hurt, but it does.
It was Lurlax, the fancy butter.
No, yeah, I bought some fancy butter and I wrote my name on that. I had a feeling because it's not evenly taken. Abby in Grovedale has given us a call. Abby, apparently you've got a few things. You've got a plethora of things that are communal at your workplace.
Yeah. So I work in aged care. So we have a lot of people giving us, like, thank you gifts and stuff for looking after loved ones. And, you know, the go-to is, like, your box of favourites. That's your basic. Ooh. But we've had people make, like, homemade cake, homemade biscuits, charcuterie boxes.
Ooh,
like,
yes.
So many things have come in from families to thank us. It's so lovely.
Abby, is it communal if you're stealing a Mars bar off someone's bedside table, though?
If you've seen it first, I think kind of
yeah.
It's a dangerous game, but only the brave play it, Abby, and you sound like you're one of the brave. There you go. Jason in Farnsford. Jason, what's the best communal thing that at a workplace you've been at?
All right, so I'm an engineer and often working out at factories doing different bits and pieces. So up at Albury, they had a fridge stocked with Zupa Dupas because it was a hot working environment.
Lovely.
So you just grab a Zupa Dupa while you're out working was good. Was working at an ice cream factory, so the lunchroom, freezer full of ice cream.
Where dreams are made of.
Have an ice cream with your lunch. One of the other factories I was working at was quite remote, and so the project manager would just go into Aldi and buy boxes of the blocks of chocolate, and we'd just put the boxes of chocolate in the fridge, and you'd open up the chocolate and just break off a row and then just keep walking. So there was always half a dozen different flavours of...
What?
Chocolate bars in there, but you just break off a row rather than taking the whole 250-gram block.
That's a lot of trust to put in the people you work with. Because people, as soon as you said that, I was like, people are just taking blocks,
greedy,
right?
Greedy, yep.
Wow. Jason, there was another radio station I worked at. There was 1 week where there was a section of communal like chips, and that lasted a week because it was like a honor system of like, all right, you know, like just take one, and it was cleaned out by the Tuesday. So it didn't last very long. It sounds like you work with a lot more trustworthy people than us here at the radio station.
We were under a lot of pressure, and the project manager looked at it and said, if it costs him $20 a day in chocolate, that's a good investment.
I'm not sure it's communal. Are the police after you right now? They just realised that you've stolen about 50 Super Duper's. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. That's what say to the judge.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.